Dear Cheap Astronomy, how far does the effect of solar flares extend? So, firstly, the strict definition of a solar flare is a flash of light associated with the rapid acceleration of charged particles. After all, light is electromagnetic radiation, so it's not surprising to get such flashes associated with all the dynamic electromagnetic activity of the Sun. Although perhaps it's best to say that solar flare events are associated with electromagnetic uproars to distinguish flare events from the general broiling activity that goes on in the Sun. A solar flare is a very energetic event, releasing not only visible light, but also shorter wavelength, higher energy, ultraviolet and X-rays. Such high energy radiation will affect planetary atmospheres, including Earth's, where the UV and X-rays will ionize gases in the so-called ionosphere, which has an effect on short-wave radio transmission. Of course, there's more to this story than just problems with short-wave radio. Most people tend to associate solar flares with everything else that happens during a solar electromagnetic outburst, such as a coronal mass ejection or smaller-scale solar particle events. These are what cause most of the trouble commonly associated with solar flares. Their effects range from the aurora we can see around both of Earth's poles, as well as inducing currents within terrestrial wire networks, which could short out entire power grids. And higher up, there is also the potential to disrupt satellite operations. It's also the case that actual solar flares can be a problem for satellites by heating up Earth's atmosphere so it expands, thereby creating drag and hence degrading the orbits of satellites, particularly low Earth orbiting ones. But the effect of solar flares and solar particle outbursts extend well past Earth's orbit. On Mars, our rovers have detected solar flares and Martian auroras arising from them. Jupiter can get X-ray auroras from them, as does Mercury for that matter, though there is some different physics involved. Uranus gets some weird wobbles in its already weird magnetosphere, remembering that Uranus is tilted over and rotates on its side, with one or more of its poles directly facing the Sun for much of its orbit. Then there's Neptune, which is known to develop more of its wispy white clouds just after solar maxima, which is when solar flares are most frequent. Whether the higher frequency of Neptunian clouds is due to heating from solar flares or electromagnetic disturbances from solar particle flux is yet to be determined. The effect of solar flares continues past the planets, indeed right out to the heliopause, the boundary at which the Sun's output of solar wind is countered by the pressure of the interstellar wind, that is, the general background of photons and charged particles that exists between stellar systems. Again, solar flares, the bursts of electromagnetic radiation, don't have much effect on the heliopause themselves. But coronal mass ejections sure do. After all, these are fast-moving particles with both mass and charge, so they essentially represent a large gust against the normal background of solar wind. Such large gusts push the heliopause further outwards, distorting its general shape, but that is then the end of those solar particles' journey. The large gust of particles doesn't get through the heliopause, it just pushes it outwards. What does get through, though, is the actual solar flare, the burst of electromagnetic radiation that's brighter than the normal radiation output of the Sun. With the right technology, aliens from across the galaxy should be able to see the light from our Sun and also the faint flashes of flares. After all, we can readily see flares from other stars with the right equipment. So, we can say the effect of solar flares is essentially infinite. Intergalactic aliens might struggle to distinguish the light of our star from the general glow of the billions of other stars in the Milky Way, but the light of our sun and its flares will be part of it.